Session number 20598, Reel 2.
Fritz, Reel 2.
Yeah. He was leaning out of the car, of the ambulance, and he looked at the chap he was inside. He said, "It's too late. He can't be saved anymore. Just save yourself." And I felt a bit unconscious because he was not quite dead, but he was dying. When you die, your eyes get a film on you. See, your eyes get different, not clear anymore. And you could see he was gone. But I left him before he was right dead, and that was on my conscience for years. But I couldn't do anything about it. Just I ran across the field, and there was like a dried out river. There were more soldiers there hiding on a dried out river. And from there, just went on.
So, were you being attacked by American artillery?
All sorts, artillery, tanks, everything. And one of this, the American, they had so much ammunition, you see, they didn't have to save. And I didn't say that. Before we were surrounded, I was in the... We dug our foxholes, and on the mortar we had a round hole for the mortar to put in, you see. And we were again on the fire. We were out. I and the other chap, you know, on the mortar went out. And we could see the artillery shot at us. And we dived down, and I lie next to his feet, yeah? And that chap, when he got up, he had both his cheeks blown off with a splinter, the cheeks in the back, because when he died out, you see, when he dived, both came off. And when he got up, I think his bone was still all right, because I had to put both my hands down to hold it up. There was just hanging on the skin on the bottom, his cheeks. And I said, "Oh, lie on your tummy, you see." So I fetched for the gas mask, the belt from a gas mask, and tied it around. I couldn't do anything about it. Tied it around, and two men had to carry him to the first aid, because I couldn't carry him to the first aid. I had to stay with the mortar, you see, because I was more or less in charge of the aiming and so, of where we didn't have any ammunition or nothing. So I couldn't take him to the first aid. So two of my mates had to take him.
Was this man from your unit?
Oh, yes. It was from my water unit.
Did you carry something called a field dressing? Like
On a small dressing and so. We had in the pocket, yes, bandages. A bandage. But this was too big. So I put everything on, the trousers were totally ripped off, you see, and put a gas, from a gas mask, belt, the strap around, everything as it was. So they couldn't be disturbed. No dirt comes in. And those two men took them straight to the first aid.
When you were surrounded, did you know the name of the place or the date where you...
We left in Normandy. I don't know the place then. No, we didn't go back.
Had you been in Normandy very long when you were surrounded?
That happened. Must have happened in August, beginning of August.
So by that time, you'd been fighting in Normandy quite a long time.
Nearly 3 months, yeah.
Do you remember any of the details of the fighting you were in during that summer before you got surrounded?
Oh, yes, many details. Many details. I mean, as I said, the American had everything. And I had to relieve myself. I was in a foxhole. I had to get up and had to relieve myself. And there was about 10 meters from me was a big lime tree. A lime tree. So I went behind there to relieve myself. And I know they couldn't shoot me from there because... There was a dam around the fields on Normandy. Around every field there was a dam, earth dam, to keep the topsoil on. I think that's why we could protect ourselves, because of that earth dam. Anyway, and there was a stick lying under the tree, a piece of wood, and I picked it up to make a hole, because it was too close on my foxhole. To make a hole so I could leave myself in there, because there were flies about. It was in July, yeah, right. So I thought I'd put in a hole there, and when I finish I can cover up a bit, you see. But I needn't have done it, because that aeroplane who directed the firing, that the tiger moth, yeah, of course, they told already the America the machine guns, you see, and he thought, because I picked up that stick, I was going in the tree as a sharpshooter, hiding in the tree as a sharpshooter. He said, I didn't know, I wanted to make a hole in there, and they shot at the tree. Terrific! It couldn't have been one machine gun. It must have been two or three, because on the 2 minutes I need, the tree, the leaves were all off, shot off, and little branches all shot off. So I was covered in leaves on little wooden branches. You see, because the firing, you see, it looked like the winter. The tree looked like the winter when all the leaves come off.
So that was the spotter plane that did that. The plane that was
spotted. Spotted. They told the machine gunner. Yeah. They thought I go in the tree as a sharpshooter.
But were you injured at all? Were you wounded?
No, I was looking like that. All the rest of all wounded and killed and so.
Any other incidents you remember from the fighting?
Yes. When we went in Normandy, there was military police just in front, just behind St. Cloud, before the front. And they said, you got to be careful, the Americans employ hardened criminals. And they had to get our salt book, our identity card. We had it in the front pockets, and everyone had an identity card, you know, where you were. And then to free them from the crime they have committed in America, depends what crime they had, you see. Some of them had to bring perhaps three or perhaps even four identical cards from a German, so they can show that they killed them and so. But then we never took much notice that, well, it must be the same as anybody else, you see. But of course...
You mean you didn't believe that?
I didn't believe it quite, no. But it did happen. Because when I was in that position there, where they shot in the tree, you know, get all the leaves off and so, there was a farm, just 50 yards further on was a farm. And I thought, I've got to have a wash now. I didn't have a wash for 7 weeks, you see, and I felt sweaty. It was in summer, you see. So I went in the farm to look for some water. And there was an outhouse, I think, where the farmer mixed the food, the fodder, for the pigs and young calves and so. And there was a pump in the outhouse. And a towel was hanging there, and even soap. Oh, I thought, well, God saved luck. So I took all my clothes off and had a good wash with cold water with the pump there. And then... while I was in the house, of course, the artillery bombed again, the farm. That plane, the spotter plane, must have seen that I go in there. And they bombed that house. And then the roof, it must have been a mortar bomb, I think. The grenade on the roof, and I remember was the ceiling was reef. What they have in Norfolk Reef and so, the ceiling, and that with plaster on, you see. And the roof fell off on me, and the plaster all, you see. But no splinters, of course, just plaster. And so, of course, I had to wash it all, couldn't care less. I had to finish my job, what to do. I was naked there, standing there. I was glad to have a good cold wash, my hair and all, I still had hair then. And put my clothes on and so. And then I went back again. And when I went back, I went to the different farm truck. Yeah, the farm truck was there. And there was one of our soldiers lying there, the head of, and the head was still in the helmet, lying on one side of the farm truck, and the body on the other side. So I knew that was what they said, the American employee criminals, and they had to get the books. So, and that was true, because that chap had the pocket open, and of course the book was off. So they came, they come on the back then, and just to get the book, he chopped his head off, because they couldn't shoot. If they would shoot, they would cause a sensation. And they just chopped the head off with a very sharp knife and so, and was silent. Because, I remember that, because I was just on guard. We had 2 hours sleep and 1 hour on guard. 5 hours, we had to change it, you see. And I had a loud cry come from that direction just a few hours before. I didn't take much notice, but a very short cry, very short. And didn't take much notice. And that's what happened. That American chopped the head off from our soldier.
Did it make you frightened of the American troops to hear such a thing?
Not really, but it could happen. But I realized then that those who collect our identical books, you see, they couldn't come and shoot anybody because they would cause, there would be danger to themselves, the conversation. So they must have done it that way. You see, they just chop their head off and take the identical card out what they wanted.
How much did you see of the French population in Normandy?
They were all evacuated then, there where we were. There were no French people there. Then when we moved back after Normandy, of course the people were still there then, you see. When I went over a bridge in Rouen, before Rouen, not direct in town. Before Rouen, I went over the bridge, and that bridge was very badly bombed. On our pioneer, they had planks across the ruin, the pillars of the bridge and so on, and let our lorries go over. And one lorry I could see, one went in front, corrected him, and one lorry slipped off the plank, but was still hanging there, you see, and there were several chaps around there that would have helped. I don't know whether the lorry trimmed into the water, because the river Seine was quite shallow there, very shallow, wasn't very deep. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, I couldn't help them much because there was others were there. And I carried on and went across the river, and there was a cottage there, and I found some German food there as well. They should have brought it to the front, but of course they couldn't bring it over the bridge because the bridge was bombed already. So they emptied it in the cottage before we went into Rouen. And then, of course, I carried on, went through Rouen.
Were you by yourself at this time?
No, we were with several chaps, but not from my unit, but all got kind of lost.
You just happened to get together?
Yeah, oh yes. When you have all the same uniform and so, you see, it's like a family.
So how many days did you have to travel from being surrounded to crossing the River Seine at Rouen?
Before we were surrounded, I remember, I was in just when they light the bomb on Hitler on the 20th of July in East Prussia, you see, And that's why before we were surrounded, we had the light a bomb on Hitler, but he survived. So it must have been end of July or August when we were surrounded. I think it could have been beginning of August.
How did you manage to escape from being surrounded?
Well, it was very funny again. I saw a lieutenant and a captain, I think. A lieutenant from the... he was from the communication Nachrichten, you see. And the captain, I think he was from the artillery, because he could see... they were together and they're looking at the maps. And I was a young chap, so I kept to them. And we carried on through the front line, you see. And when we were on the other side of the line, an SS man came along. I said, "Are we out yet?" "Yet." "Oh yes, he said you're just out." And that captain from the artillery, he spoke good French, you see. So he went in a rectory, a parson's house, I think. He went there, you know. And then on the way, when we went out, we saw again a German lorry bombed, all burned. And then we found some tins of goulash, stew, yes. And I took the tins, you see, with those. When we went to the farmhouse, then the farmers, not the farmers, the rectory, I think one servant, they made us ships. And I warmed up that stew and, yes, and put it over the ships, you see, so we had a proper first meal for a long time, you see. So, but there, I think he got a bedroom from the parson and so. And he said, "Well, I can come and sleep with them, you see," the officer said. But I was staying with the chaps in the garage. And then next morning, I just carried on. So a lorry's coming. I had a lift with German lorries, you know, and got back. And till I was... since I was caught, yeah. So I got some of my unit again. That's it. Yeah, it was on a road crossing. It was General Zimmermann. I know it was my general, you see. I followed that road crossing. And when I came to the end, there were sitting 10 chaps around the apple tree. All belonged to the General Zimmermann division. Under 10. The rest must have been all dead. I couldn't get any taken prisoners, you know. I think they were all dead and wounded. Well, 10 from the whole division or so, just there. And we carried on then with one officer. He was a captain as well. He carried on, you know, through the fields and so on to get out of everything. But we were captured in the... We were in a forest. One of them had a lookout. We were so tired, we lied down. And one of them was looking out. Of course, he fell asleep as well. And suddenly, he woke up. He called aloud, "Hauptmann, Captain, Hauptmann, I've been taken prisoner. It's no good resistance. It's finished, you see." And we looked up, and they were already there, free French. And Canadian troops, French Canadian troops, you see, and free French, and some of them had a bandage round the arm with the French cross, I think, there, you know, just civilian. And of course, they had all guns and so on, were just shooting. And the chap next to me, he was wounded again, an arm, you see. And the bullets flew off the trees. And so, because the way they hit the trees and so, and of course we had to surrender then, it was finished. And that took us...
Were any of the Germans resisting?
No. It was too late then. It was too late because we were asleep and we were surrounded so suddenly. You just lying there. It's no good having resistance because you would have committed suicide.
So why were they firing?
Pardon?
Why were they firing?
The French were firing because, you know, we were there, you know. And then when they saw, we did woke up and saw, I think some of us they were shooting back, but there was no hope. We were taken by surprise so quick. So all we could do was commit suicide.
So this was night time?
Yes. It was almost dark.
Where was this?
That was between Roanne and Amiens. Between the towns, halfway. Roanne, I left Roanne already, and Amiens.
Do you know the date?
Yeah, the last day in August. The 31st of August.
How did you feel about being captured?
Well, terrible, I know. But as I said, it was so sudden and so. We didn't know what will happen to us. We didn't know whether they will shoot it or not. Because some of them were civilian with a band there. Partisan, we called it. But really, they called themselves Free French. Free French troops. So they took it along and put it in a garage to several there. Several others were there, not just us. We were about eight or so. More were there. They put it just in the garage, closed the back garage door. On the next morning, British troops came there on a German lorry. A German captured lorry, you see. And they put it there in the camp. We went on a lorry and they took it into a temporary camp.
How were you treated at first when you were captured?
Took everything off us, you see. But, no, when we were captured, they were all right. They just took our assault book, our army identity card, yes. And of course, weapons, we didn't have any weapons, it was lost. But there was no food. We were in a big stubble field, which put the barbed wire around. And every 50 meters was somebody with a machine gun. So you really couldn't escape. Only you could escape if you committed suicide, yes. And from there, we marched on again to a different camp, right up to the coast.
What was the do you remember the names of the camps that you were in France?
No, they were all temporary camps. And we walked right up to, every day. And one day, I think it was below Caen, the lorries came along there, what went to the front to supply the front with food and ammunition, and so lorries. And of course, they had to go back again through the coast to fill up again. And while they were empty, they put us on the lorry. And I remember we went through Caen as prisoners. And some of the French were throwing us with stones and bottles, you know, empty bottles, of course, and calling, Raus, out, German, out, you see. And the British chap on the back of a lorry with a machine pistol, he had a machine pistol on the one on the back and one in front of the machine pistol. And they just laughed a bit, you see. But on the back there was a lorry for a colored chap, a guard, a colored chap with a machine pistol, you see. And because the French were throwing him with stones and so, he shot over the French, over the heads. You know, he didn't shoot the French, but over the heads to frighten them, you see. And they stopped it. But the British, they were just grinning and they didn't do anything about it. And I thought, far blimey, that colored chap, you see, he tried to protect us because we were hopeless, you see. But those chaps, they just, this happened. You know,
like so, this. What nationality was the colored chap?
Must have been the British Army, because I don't think they were French. No, I don't think they were American. I think they were the British Army. Yeah, they had the same uniform.
Were you hit by any of the stones and bottles?
Oh, yeah, stones, and, but of course I was just not injured.
Were you being taken to a ship?
Yes, we went right up to Cherbourg, I think, or was it a different place? Right up. And then again, what I didn't like, when we went on the lorries, there were some British soldiers. They came from Liverpool, they had an arm, Liverpool, an army, I guess.
Liverpool?
Liverpool, they came from Liverpool regiment and so on. And they came on a lorry. Again, there was one chap on the front with a machine gun and another machine pistol, and one on the back, you see. And that little chap came on a lorry and tried to pinch everything what we got, put in a sack. Well, I didn't have anything, I lost everything. I just had a mountain pen, but that was dry anyway. I couldn't get any ink to put in. I had no chance to write any letters, you see. So he took the mountain pen off, but next to me, there was a married man. He had a married ring on, and he couldn't get it off. And he was so angry, he put the pistol on his chest, that little Liverpool chap. And of course, that chap on the front, who was going to protect us, he was shaking. He was thinking, oh, I hope he didn't shoot him, because if he would have shot him, he might have done something about it, you see. And he really didn't like it, but he was very cheeky, that little chap. But he couldn't get the ring off, so he spit on his finger to try to get it off, still couldn't get it off, so he left it. Yeah, this is just, how can I say, some of the little chaps, you see, they felt strong because they had a gun and we didn't have one. And because they were always pressed down, you see. You didn't see that a big shop would do that. And they felt strong there. And I said they pitched everything what you got, every valuable things, and put it in the back. Of course, before we went to the camp, the lorry stopped again, and they went off the lorry. And there was one chap, he could speak English, one of our prisoner. And when we came to the camp, he was complaining to the camp commandant, you see. And the camp commandant only said, I will do everything possible to find the chaps who are responsible for that, for the action, you see. Of course, it was all blind talk. All blind talk.
Was this in England or in France?
In France still. But that was the English troops then. That was where the English landed on Caen. The American landed on the west coast of Normandy, and the British landed on the east coast of Normandy, Caen.
What do you remember happening next?
Well, we went then, I don't know whether it was Cherbourg or what, we went on a boat, on a ship, and there was a tank carrier. And when the tanks come off the ship, on the back, the big door slapped the platform. Comes down with the tank roll off, you see, from the ship. Of course, water comes in, because they go so far, the ships go so far on the beach as possible. And the water comes in, and so they put it all in there. Of course, water, when too much, it was rusty, the water was quite rusty from the ship. And of course, then we went on high sea, the ship was swinging, and all the water went over our feet, and so. But probably couldn't get less of it. But when we landed in Southampton, yes. And of course, there was newspaper men there. Working for a newspaper, photographers. And they made sure, we looked, half our feet was rusty and so from the water, from the tank carrier. And they said, oh, we have nothing to put in the paper then. I mean, I couldn't read English then that day or that. Well, we had nothing to worry about the German. Look how they look there, you see, full of rust and so. From that was the situation as it was.
What happened to you at Southampton?
Southampton, we were again put in